But I think the Lord knows if he gave me that kind of ability, it would get to my head, all right? And I just couldn't handle it. And so I appreciate Vicky. She just loves the Lord, her and Brother Ray, and I just appreciate that she has given that talent to the Lord. All right. It's good to be in church. It is a blessing to be in church. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'll be getting through this whole chapter. This is quite the chapter here. The Apostle Paul, you know, there's no doubt in my mind, and I'm sure that this was probably the most challenging group of believers that the Apostle Paul had. When you just read all the epistles, and of course, there were churches that epistles weren't written to. You know, there certainly could have been some other challenges along the way. Issue after issue, from chapter to chapter, the Apostle Paul is having to address some things, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he writes to them, he is guiding them, of course, pointing them to Christ and encouraging them how to deal with their different situations. And those situations were aplenty, as I mentioned, if you just read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, you know, you see that they're making some headway. You see that there's some growth in these believers and that they're coming along. There's still issues. There are issues with us, aren't there? Amen? Yeah, there's issues with me. This fellow up here that's talking to you, and sometimes I wonder, Lord, why would you want me to pastor? You know the things that, man, I've got a long way to go in a lot of areas in my life. But we are all a work in progress, aren't we? Sure we are. No, nobody's reached that that pinnacle and got to the place where, well, all right, I'm all done. No, that's just not going to happen. We can just laugh at that one like we just did, because we're always a work in progress, and God knows that. And the church here, this church at Corinth, they're coming along, and the apostle, of course, is led by the Lord. But you know, you can see the thoughts of every author. You can see what makes each book different, because you can see the personality of the author in each epistle or whatever book it might be. So God, in his wisdom, didn't use them like, you know, they were so mechanical that they just wrote these words, and you could see themselves poured out into the books and into the epistles. And God, in his wisdom, wanted it that way. He wanted part of Paul, obviously, to be in these epistles that he wrote. And the people that he's writing to, boy, he invested in them. And so his heart is with, and you see that coming through. And here in this chapter, he's going to talk to them about, you know, and he was hoping that a whole bunch of them, that all of them would really grasp this and embrace it about becoming becoming yielded to the Lord, about becoming a servant. Now, let me just start off by saying that, you know, I love what 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says to us, it says, to those of us that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? The sons of God. The sons of God. We are children of the Lord. What a great thing. If we know Christ as our Savior. And to be called a child of God, a son of God, is really a remarkable thing. You know, we kind of just like titles anyway, right? Don't we? Yeah. You guys are being quiet again on me. But yeah, we like that. I mean, you know, I'm the chief bottle washer over at the Plug Nickel restaurant, you know, and I got my own little tag, you know, and it's like, that's pretty cool, especially as a young guy, you know, and you're just a teenager and you got this little title and it says something. It's pretty cool, right? And we like our titles. Now, as we get older, we try to just brush them off, like, no big deal. Yeah, you're a liar. You know how much you like it. We like titles, all right? We like those kinds of the things that, you know, we can put on a placard or whatever. Well, listen, how much better does it get than to be called a son of God? In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 calls us sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters of of the living God. That is a great, great thing, because it's all because of what Jesus Christ did for us. But this morning, I want us to see another aspect of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to see ourselves in the role of being servants. And I talked about that just a few minutes ago, and when we read our a scripture verse, we did our scripture reading about a servant. That is a role that, we have an opportunity to be a part of. I think, again, it's a wonderful thing to be a servant of the great King, to be a servant of God. It was said, again, of our Lord Jesus Christ, we read this verse just a little bit ago, that he made himself of no reputation in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So I hope this morning that you're truly a child of God. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ, then the Bible says you're not, but you can become one if you'll put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you. But if you are a child of God, then you have eternal life. You are a child of God. That's just automatic. It is certain if you've been born again. But being a servant is something that you and I choose to do as a child of God. We don't have to do that. It is a definite mindset that you or I choose to wear or to put on, that we want to become a servant. And may we all be servants of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a chapter that speaks about servanthood, about being a servant. And then let's take a look and see exactly what a servant is willing to do. So we see it here with the Apostle Paul. There were three things that he was determined that we too can incorporate into our own personal lives. And we'll see that here in this whole chapter. I'll bring out three points that if we're going to be servants, then these are the things that we need to do. And I hope that you'll embrace them, because long ago, I really did embrace these. And this is how I want to live each day of my life as a Christian. I don't always succeed, as I've told you before. Yeah, I don't always hit at the highest level, but it's what I choose to want to do, to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that, let's have a word of prayer. Let's ask the Lord to bless. Father, we come to you this morning, and we're so grateful for the opportunity that we can come to you in prayer. You've opened a door for us to be able to have access to you, not because of anything that we've done, certainly not upon any of our own merits, not at all. It's because of what your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did for us, how he came to this earth and died on a cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did that. Thank you that you didn't shrink away from the cross. We would not have blamed you if you would have done that. What you had to go through, none of us can fully imagine, but we read about it, and it was horrible what you had to go through, but you did that for us. You did that, and you went to that cross, and you were buried, and you've risen again, and you're alive, and we thank you that you've worked in our hearts and brought us to you, and now we know you as our Savior. And Lord, if there is somebody here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray you work in their hearts and show them how much you love them, how much you love them by the fact that you died for them on a cross and were buried and that you're risen again. So we thank you, Lord, that we can all be gathered together today, and thank you that we can just enjoy your presence here. We want you to be among us, and we pray, Lord, that you'd get a hold of our hearts. We pray that every person here today, that it's our desire to want to beyond the fact that we know that we're saved, for those of us that do know that, that there would be a desire to just want to be a servant of yours. Would you help us to get to that point in our life where we would just turn over things unto you and just be there at your beck and call, whatever it is that you want us to do, help us to be of that mindset. So help us as we look in this chapter, Lord, that you'll reveal some things to us. And again, I pray that you'd set me to the side, and I would pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you'd fill me. And I pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified. And I ask it all in his wonderful name. Amen. So there's some things that we need to do if we're going to be servants of the great God, our Savior. And the first thing that I want to bring up is we need to be surrendered, but I'll just kind of phrase it that way, surrendered to His plan. By the way, God has a plan for every one of us. And it's good for us to know that. It seemed like some of you got that, but it's true. God has a will or a plan, a course set out for every one of you and myself as well. And it would be the best thing for us in our lives to find out what that is. Have you ever prayed, Lord, show me what you want me to do in my life? I don't want to be off on a plan B when I really should be on under plan A. And plan A is what you have for me. It would be a shame, wouldn't it, to go through this life, to stand before the Lord one day, you're saved, and your sins have been forgiven, and you're there at the judgment seat of Christ. Our sins won't be judged for our sins. They were judged on Calvary when we got saved, on that cross, the Bible says. But wouldn't it be a shame if we're before the Lord and we realize, I didn't really live my life for Him. I was off on my own tangent. I was off on my own devices and doing the things that I wanted to do, and I never got my life lined up. And then you know that, and then the Lord will judge our lives. He's going to judge every aspect of our lives. Fortunately, the sin is already covered, but how we lived for Him. And it'll be brought out very glaringly clear that, you know, you didn't ever yield yourself to me for me to use you. I had plans for you to do this and this, but you went off another direction, and that's what you wanted. There were things that you were chasing. That would be a shame, wouldn't it? You know what would be great is if maybe there's somebody here like that, and you're going off a direction, you're saved, and you know Christ, but you're going in a direction that the Lord doesn't really endorse. That's not what He's got for you to do. But wouldn't it be good at least to know that right now and stop and go, you know what? You've revealed that to me today, Lord, and I just want to stop going that road, and I want to get on the road you want me to be on. And then, maybe your whole life wasn't given that to the Lord that way, but so being surrendered to His plan, because God has a plan for every one of us, getting to a place where we're ready to do His bidding. Because if we're surrendered to His plan, that means, Lord, whatever it is, each day you wake up and you go, Lord, here's a new day. Did you wake up and say, oh, Lord, what a new morning. Praise the Lord. A new morning, and I get a chance to serve you. Did you start off this day that way? And you know what? It's good to just get up every day and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? I want you to lead me and direct me and guide me. And so we're ready to do His bidding. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God will direct our paths if we just acknowledge Him and we'll learn to trust Him day to day. We see right here at the beginning of this chapter, the Apostle Paul, as we read verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, asks about this ministry that's been given to him, the ministry of taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. I mean, those missionary journeys didn't go all around the globe, we know, but they went everywhere God intended them to go, and they took the gospel, and God gave them a ministry. He also had a ministry to the different churches after they were established, and it was certainly a ministry of his to try to encourage those Corinthian believers and help them to become established in the faith. And so he says this, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Listen, if you and I yield ourselves to Him, then He is going to put something before you and I. He's going to give you something that to do. He has something for you. Have you ever had it? Now, you think about, you ever been in a position where, you know, you were kind of running something and you needed volunteers and you had like 7 or 8 volunteers come at you and you had job duties for the first volunteer, the second volunteer, the third volunteer, then the fourth one looks at you and says, what did you want me to do? And you're like, I don't know, let me think about it. You know, it's like, okay, I didn't expect this much. That's never been said by God. No, none of one of us has ever said, Lord, I want you to use me. And the Lord says, oh, I don't know what to... I got to think about this. I'll get back with you. That's something that the Lord never said. Because the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, he already knows what he wants to do with you. He's waiting for you and I just to simply come to him and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. You remember who said that? It was a young Isaiah that said that. Here am I. Send me. I want you to direct my life. I'm not so sure that it's really being yielded to you. Sometimes we might think that we're in the perfect will of God. It might be good for us to say, Lord, am I really doing what you want me to do? And if we'll do that, it'd be good to find it. Better to find out now than, like I said, than when this life is over. And so be thankful and just be willing to accept whatever it is that he's given to you and I. And God, if we have a servant's mindset, then we'll be happy. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. And he's enabled me. He's equipped me for this calling. He says, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The Apostle Paul understood that God had equipped him for. That's what God had called Paul to do, was to be a missionary, was to start churches, was to simply be a servant of God. And the Apostle Paul was happy with that. There's no greater thing in this life than to accept what the Lord has for you and I. There really is no better place to be than to know that you're in his will and that you're just simply leaning upon him. And whatever it is that he gives to us, know this, that it comes with his mercy. That verse 1 says that, as we have received mercy. In every situation that God places us in, we might think this is a challenge. How am I going to deal with this? I found a number of things in my life that I yielded myself to that God opened up a door and I went, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm not comfortable. I'm not suited for that. But God knows who's suited. And we might not be developed along the lines of where we think we should be, but God will tell us, I'll develop you. Will you just trust me? You know, it's like just going someplace that you've never been before. It's like, you know, when somebody dares you to go on, the spin cycle over at Silverwood and you've never been on that. It's like, I ain't going on that. No way. But, you know, it just looks intimidating. And sometimes when God's calling us to do something, we think, I don't want to go there. That's like the spin cycle, being thrown into my life. And I'm not ready for that right now. But if we'll just trust the Lord and say, Lord, you know what you're going to do with me. It looks very, very overwhelming. It's way out of my comfort zone. I don't think I have the gifts that are necessary for it, but you know. Boy, if we take that approach, God will really bless it. Because God will say, you're really trusting me, aren't you? You watch me come through for you. Can you say, yeah, I've seen God do that in my life. Yeah. Yeah, it's good to raise your hand right now. Isn't it good to do that? Yeah. Yeah. It's good to raise your hand, you know. I've seen that. There are things that I know, I thought, oh, I don't think I want to do that, but I want to do whatever you want me to do. And I went forward. I probably looked horrible doing it. I remember my pastor, and to this day, I'm not a good song leader. I'll lead some songs. I don't have very good range. If I get stuck with a song, it's like, I'm not going to touch that one. And so back in the day, my pastor, Pastor Dave Woods, way back when I was just a young Christian, says, I want you to try to lead singing. I went, oh, I didn't want to do that. I said, okay, I'll do it, you know, and I just tried to learn. In fact, when I went to Bible college, we're leading, you know, congregational song leading, so I got to learn how to do that, but unfortunately, that class just shows you how to go with the rhythm. It doesn't improve your voice or anything. It doesn't help you with any range. So, you know, all through those early years of doing that, I probably looked horrible, but it was something that I wanted to do, and my pastor wanted me to do that, and so I was just willing. So you know what that's all about, being put in a place where you feel just vulnerable and you're just not equipped. Well, God's going to do that, but he's going to give us the things that we need, and he's going to give us mercy that we need to have, and it's just so good. And then he gives us the promise so that we faint not. He gives us that mercy and his grace so that we faint not. We're not overwhelmed. Remember how he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What I give to you, it won't overwhelm you. That's what we've got to trust. It looks like it could overwhelm us, but you've got to believe that God's a God of His Word, and He is. And He is going to help you not to faint. And so that's what being surrendered to His plan is God will give you something. If you haven't done that, and you come to the altar this morning after the service, after the sermon's over, and you say, Lord, I don't think I've truly given You my life, but I want to become a servant of Yours, and I'm going to be surrendered to Your plan, God will give you something pretty soon. And but He will be there with you as you go through it. And then you'll get to enjoy that fellowship that you have with Christ as you do that, because He'll draw near to you and He will help you. And you'll know the presence of God like you've never known it before. It'll be an awakening if you've not gone there, and you'll go, I feel like I know the Lord so much more. You know how you kind of knew somebody, an acquaintance, and then for some reason you end up having to get close to that person, maybe because of a work duty, and you had to work alongside that. And then, you know, you thought, oh man, I thought certain things about this person. Now we're talking every day because I'm working alongside of them, and I've gotten to know them so much better. Maybe that's for the good. Maybe it's not for the good. But, you know, you've gotten to know this person. You'll get to know God better as you just trust Him, and He takes you through some things. And so I better continue to go on. We're barely just finishing verse 1. I'll get through this a little bit quicker, okay? I won't spend that much time on each verse. But God will give us the grace that we need and His mercy. And then verse 2, he says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The Apostle Paul said this, as a servant, I recognize that everything that I do, I'm His servant, and it reflects Him. And so whatever I do, I'm going to renounce those things that would bring dishonor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that would put a black eye on Christ, I can't be a part of that. That's why he says, I'm going to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. That means whatever it is that I'm called, did that stick at all with you and I? Listen, we want to do things to the utmost level, to the highest level, so that when people see it, and Brother Jason talked about that this morning, is that people know he's a man that goes to church, or they think he's a religious guy, you know, and some people know him as a born-again Christian. Everybody has their own take on all that, but they know that he's different. They ought to be able to see us as being different wherever we frequent. Amen? They ought to be able to say, you know that, I don't know everything about that lady or that man, but they're different in a good way. They're just very kind. They're always, they're just very considerate. They're always asking, how are you doing? And not everybody's like that. God's beginning to open up a door. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we ought to have a desire to want to be blameless, not being crafty. Boy, that's the last thing a Christian ought to be known for, is being crafty or sneaky. You know, I hope that you're not sneaky, okay, by the way, because it gets, the word gets around. Yeah, the word gets around, you know. It's like, all right, I know that Caleb guy back there. That's a sneaky guy, I'll tell you. No, he's going, no, he's not a sneaky guy, not at all. But you know what? I mean, what if they looked at you and thought, you know, wow, there's Brother Tony. That guy's a sneaky guy. He's got a great smile, but he's sneaky. I can say that about him because he's not. I mean, you know, I mean, wouldn't that be bad if they just said, yeah, that guy's a pastor, Cornerstone Baptist. He's a sneak. He's a snake. That guy's, what would that be like? That's not good. So what about our reputation? That's what Paul's saying. I want to make sure that everything that I do, that it's above board and that I'm transparent, that, you know, that we would walk in truth, that we would commend ourselves to every man's conscience, as he says. Why would we do this? Well, it's to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to honor Him, and also because it gives us an opportunity to reach the lost. So I'm still under the same point of surrender to His plan. It's about reaching the lost. That's what verses 3 through 6 talk about right now. Let's read those verses. He says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen, we were all blinded by the god of this world. You know that word God, you notice it's a small g. That's talking about the devil. He's the god of this world. He has no power against the great God of this universe, who is our Father if we're saved, right? But that's talking about the god of this world, and he's blinded the minds of them which believe not. And that's in verse 5, he says, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light, this is what happened in your life and in my life when we got saved. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that time when God shined a light in your heart, that light of conviction? I told you before, I was at a swap meet with my friend, and God chose that place at that time on a Saturday afternoon. It may have been late morning, but I think it was early afternoon. And God used that time to just get a hold of my heart and bring me under conviction. Maybe it was some of the messages I'd heard in church up to that point. I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden I felt under conviction, and I'd never felt that way before. And I knew I needed to talk to somebody about God. I was never thinking that way before. Oh, I've got to know about God. I've got to think. No. I just felt I felt doom. I felt as if, if I didn't take care of this, I was on my way to hell. And I had to go and talk to somebody. God brought me under conviction. Aren't you glad that God shined a light in your heart? One day home and you had some devotions, and mom or dad were reading the scripture. Maybe dad was leading it, and you heard about some things in the Bible. And then you went to bed and you were laying there like, I don't want to go to hell. And you were like 6 or 7 years old, and you went back to mom and dad and said, Mom, Dad, I don't want to die and go to hell. Some of our kids came to us that way. They'd heard a Sunday school story, and God opened up their hearts. God did something in your heart and in my heart to reveal to us that we were lost. And we pray that when we deal with somebody that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that God will reveal that to him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit who does that. So he wants to shine the light of Christ in the heart of every lost individual. And folks, if we're servants and yielded, he will shine his light through us to a darkened world. He will use servants to shine his light through us. Philippians 2:15 says this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You and I can be lights. Now, we're not the source of that light. The light is Jesus Christ. The light is the Spirit of God living inside of us. But we have the light, and that light can shine through us. And if we'll just submit ourselves to God, say, Lord, make me a servant, God will be able to more readily shine that light to other people's lives. And people will see you and I, and people will notice, and God will be able to do that. So are we surrendered to his plan? That's part of what a servant does. And then secondly, let's be determined to secure his power, all right? Surrender to his plan, but secondly, secure his power. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says this, but we have this treasure, okay? We have this treasure. We have the Lord himself. We have the Spirit of God. We have the gospel. We have all of these things. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That the power may be of God and not of us. Folks, it's one thing to be surrendered to his plan and to his leading. That's one thing. That's where we need to start. Lord, I just want to be surrendered to you. But it's also another thing to have his power. We want to have his power working through us. Not for our sakes. Not so that we can use it. There was a character named Simon. I don't think it was the same one called Bar-Jesus. I think this was in Acts chapter 8, and he was in Samaria, and he saw the disciples doing some great things, and he said, I want some of that same power. Can I have some of that Holy Spirit, that some of that Holy Ghost? And Peter rebuked him and said, you thought you could buy the power of God, and that man got blinded. So may we never want the power of God for our sake. It ought to be because as a servant, we just want God to work through us with his power through us. to make a difference in other people's lives. Amen? That's why we would want it for. But we need to have his power. You and I must have God's power upon us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We're to operate with his power. That's how we can overcome any sin in our life, is through his power. If we don't have his power, we're going to stumble through this life as a Christian. But if we'll yield unto him and become servants, then you watch that God will be able to work through you and I with more power. It's that power of the Spirit of God who works through you and I. Understand this, brothers and sisters in Christ, that in securing this power that you and I need to have, and we must have it, we must go through some things. It's just not given to you and I, haphazardly by the Lord. The Lord's going to allow. He's got to kind of work out a whole lot of the kinks. And John chapter 15, when the Lord said that he was the true vine, and my Father's the husbandman, the Lord Jesus Christ said that we're branches, and a lot of our branches are like dead, and so he purges and cuts off the dead branches. Why would you do that? Well, some of you that garden, why do you do that? You're trying to make the whole thing blossom, right? You're trying to allow those good branches that bear the fruit not to be encumbered by those dead ones. And so the Lord's cutting things off of our life that don't look like Christ. He wants to cut them off. That's not always a pleasant process, but he's wanting to do that to make us more like him. So what does that mean? Trials and challenges and obstacles that we go through. Brother Jason brought that up this morning. We're going to go through things in this life. By the way, lost people go through things in this life. Everybody goes through things in this life. What does it say? Man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. Problems are a part of this life. But we go through these struggles and these trials and these hindrances and obstacles and the things that face so that we'll learn to trust God. And God allows them in our lives so that he can give us more of his power. Verses 8 and 9, look what it says here. Verses 8 and 9, he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." Paul's saying this about himself, but it's true of every Christian, really, that we're going to be troubled on every side when we give ourselves to the Lord. Then some of you might go, and some Christians might respond, "Well, why would I want to give myself to the Lord if it just brings trouble in my life?" Because you'll have the Lord with you like you've never had him before. And I can say this of being saved 44 years, all right? And again, I've not certainly done perfectly through the 44 years, but as a young Christian, I turned my life over to the Lord, and I'm right there. And that is just something that you never want to trade that off. Boy, to have the Lord right there by your side, and you know his presence, and he takes you through difficult times. So he says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And then he says, we are perplexed. Sometimes we can't figure it out. We're confused. You ever find yourself perplexed? And what does it say? But not in despair. Paul said, yeah, I might find myself perplexed, but I'm not in despair. How come I'm not in despair? Because I've got the Lord with me. And the Lord is buoying me up. And he's just lifting my spirit. I can think of a number of times when my wife and I, we think, well, this whole situation should have really bottomed us out. And we really look at each other like, how come we just didn't get so discouraged? We both look at each other and said, it's the Lord. The Lord was so kind and gracious that he just kept lifting us up. You know, I mean, as a little kid, you know, you're trying to learn how to swim, right? And you keep just going under, and there's your parents. Hopefully their parents are right there, right? And just kind of lifting you up and bringing you back to the surface. And you're trying to swim, and you keep going down, but you know, okay, it's kind of scary. But my dad, okay, I can feel his hand, and he's buoying me up. Yeah, you know, sometimes our parents teach us that way how to swim. They just throw you right in the swimming pool, right? Amen. It's rough. The hardest part for me was trying to get out of that gunny sack. That was hard, right? No, just joking. God does that, and he lifts us up and buoys us and strengthens us. He lets us go through some things, but he's right there. And that is the most wonderful thing about it. And then it says, verse 9, persecuted. We're even persecuted, but look how he always comes back, but not forsaken. I'm persecuted, but the Lord's not forsaken me. He's right there. In fact, Paul's probably saying this, the hardest times, the most harshest of persecutions, the nearer he seems. And he just puts a smile back on my face because I'm not forsaken. And then he says this, cast down. I've been cast down by some of the trials, but not that he went through, and whatever it is that we go through, if we're yielded to the Lord and just trusting him, the Lord's right there and he'll help us. Yes, you and I will go through it. Anything in this life that's worth becoming involves good training. We know that. And good training is not an easy thing. I mean, Brother Sherman, was training a little bit of a challenge when you were in the military?
Definitely.
Yeah.
They
didn't take you to Baskin Robbins every day and said, hey, guys, we don't need to train, just whatever you want. I don't think so. They trained you. And training is not an easy thing, and God trains us. And he allows some things in our lives. And it is through these things that he allows in our life, that we will be able to secure his power. And folks, we need that power. And as true servants, we'll want to make sure that we deflect any praise. If people come to you and say, oh, well, you're just a remarkable soul winner, or you're just remarkable teacher, or you just are like, the bee's knees when it comes to this or that, and you just go, pretty much, thank you. No, that's not a good response. The response ought to be, thank you very much, but it's the Lord.
Amen.
It's by his grace that he's allowed me to do anything. And so it always ought to be deflected to him. Remember John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. It ought to all be to his glory. And so that's what a good servant does. And so when we think about, what he's done in our lives. So now, as a servant, we will welcome a dying to self. That's what he's going to talk about here in verses 10 through 14. As a servant, when we begin to realize, hey, the Lord's taking me through these things, and I sense that he's giving me his power to be able to overcome things and to be able to live at a higher level than I ever could before, then we will give praise unto him, and then we will begin to welcome, Lord, I just want to keep dying to that old self of mine. I want to die to that, and I want you to build me up in the new man so that I can bring praises unto you. And that's what he speaks here in verses 10 through 14. Look what he says. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Boy, let that kind of sink in. The dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The Spirit of God is wanting to reveal Christ in you and I. That means that us, that old nature has to shrivel up and begin to die. It won't die completely. The old nature is always going to be there. But we can reckon it to be dead indeed unto sin, as Romans chapter 6 says. We can live so much for the Lord that the old nature is losing his strength. And remember, the old nature, exactly, not as fools. So it says here in verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. This is what Paul's saying, and this is what a servant would say, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So he says basically the same thing, that Christ would be seen in us. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. You know, as far as what he's saying here, death works in us because we've chosen this route of being a servant. And he says, life worketh in you because it's through our dying that we can bring life to you because God's able to work through us. I mean, there's a whole lot here, and it's not just so simple and basic, but that's what I believe he's saying. Life comes to somebody else when we die. You remember how the Lord said, if we'll become a kernel of corn, a corn must go into the ground and die. And what does it do? It brings forth, all these corn stalks come from it. And one of them dying, that seed going into the ground dies. If you and I become that seed that dies to the things of this life and say, Lord, I'm going to be like a servant, then we are kind of dying a death. And then the Lord says, I'm going to bring a whole lot of life through your life. I'll bring a whole lot of people to Christ through your death. Does that make sense? And that's what he wants us to do. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And then he says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Folks, let us seek to get ourselves out of the picture. Let it become less about ourselves. It's got to become more about him. We're living in a narcissistic society right now. And it is just all about, you know, selfies upon selfies. I mean, it's just like, it's look at what we're doing all the time. And we're putting such a focus on ourselves that it's getting ingrained. Sometimes we just think, oh, it's just a lot of fun. Well, we have fun. Sure, I take selfies, but you know, the more and more I look at my pictures, I just go, less selfies. We need less selfies with this mug. So, you know what? It just got to be less about us because this is a society that's just all about itself. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God is wanting to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. So a true servant's heart welcomes the idea that Jesus Christ must take center stage. The Lord Jesus Christ needs to be the focus. Amen? And that should be our desire. And by the way, that doesn't just happen. If you're just thinking, oh, that's just the way I've always operated. I would check that thought. Because if we just think that's the way it always happened, then I don't think it's really happening. Be honest with you, because knowing human nature, if it's just like you think you automatically went into that niche or that role, then I don't think it happened. It has to be a decision because the old nature is just going to go its own route on its own. That's just the way it goes. We have to at some point go, no. Lord, I can't see it clearly, but I'm just determined that I want you to have center stage. I want it to be about you. I can't really see things clearly, but reveal some things to me. You know what? God will reveal it, and he'll show us if we're truly, it's mostly about us. Because sometimes we just don't realize how selfish we are. Some of you might say, speak for yourself, Pastor. I know, I'm a selfish guy. I look at myself in the mirror like I've told you, and I just look at me and I just go, all right, buddy, what are you up to today? What are you up to today? And it's like my reflection looks at me and just says, wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you like to know? Yeah, it's like I know that that's a dirty scoundrel that's looking at me in the face because I know what I am inside me. And we've got to make a decision that I don't want any part of that. I want you, Lord, to work through me. And then finally, let's just trust him to see the prize. That's the last point. So it's about securing his power or being surrendered to his plan, securing his power, and then being able to see the prize. And we see that the Apostle Paul lays this out here. It is what God wants for us, to be able to envision, you know, the long look, to be able to see way down the road. God wants us to be able to see the invisible. He wants us to be able to see heaven. He wants us to be able to see beyond what's right in front of us. Because that's where, you know, God will bless that. There are some wonderful things to behold. If we'll have eyes to see, folks, he will show us. I think it's kind of like getting a sneak peek at Christmas presents, you know, and our kids did that from time to time. We would go and inspect the present. I was just like, hey, wait a second. You know, the presents are under the tree. Christmas is still a week away. And I'd say to my wife, look at this gift over here. And we go over there and look, and it's like a little corner of it is torn open. It's like, I don't think we have any mice in our house here. And then we just start inspecting all of the presents, you know, and there's like little corners, torn and put back and taped again. It's like, wait a second, I don't think you wrapped them that way. Somebody's been into these, you know, and you're just like, Man, it makes you want to, like, when they open them up for Christmas, go, you get to play with it 10 minutes, and then they're going back to Toys R Us because you guys are a bunch of cheats. But it's just like, you know, on the positive side of seeing something that, oh, wow, that's exciting. I mean, you know, kids are kids. But the Lord wants us to be able to see what he has in store for us. In verse 15, the Apostle Paul says this, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." You know what? Paul was saying here that I live to see others blessed. Remember, the Lord said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it really is. When you get to see the joy of somebody who receives something, it's like, that is so great. That is a blessing to see somebody blessed because we've given. And the Apostle Paul said, that's what I want to do, is I want to be somebody who just gives. I want to be somebody who is a means of blessing to somebody else. And he had given himself as a servant of God in order that these Corinthian believers would be blessed. He wanted them to be blessed and that God would be justified or glorified, that God would be glorified and lifted up. That's why he did that. This cause will keep us from fainting or being overwhelmed as we look unto him. Verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." When we are just yielded to the Lord, then God's going to help us he's going to keep us going, spiritually speaking, and keep us from fainting, keep us from being overwhelmed. Even when our physical resources are taxed and to the limit, our strength seems to be all but gone, yet our inward man is renewed daily. And God will give us that. God will strengthen us, and he'll help us to be able to grind it out. He'll give us a tenacity in our spirit. He'll help us to become, where we won't ever, as far as in our spirit. You know, Brother Jason brought up how fatigue makes cowards of us all. That's a quote that Vince Lombardi once said. Because when we get so tired, and when we get tired in body and tired in spirit, that's when we're ready to just quit. But you know, the Lord can just continue to just charge us. And there's times when I get physically or spiritually, I feel like I'm hitting a wall. And I'll just look to the Lord. And Brother Jason said that. Just pray and just trust the Lord and just watch him infuse you and myself. And I've seen that so many times. And I'll just go, thank you, Lord. Man, thank you. Sometimes the Lord might just say, take a nap, dummy, you know. It might just be as simple as that. Sometimes it's just physically, okay, take care of your physical body too. And don't just, you know, go from, you know, burning both ends of the candle all the time. You will just be toast. And that will affect you spiritually. So, you know, be wise with how you take care of your physical body. But let us just learn how to trust the Lord, and you watch him just be able to do what he wants to do. He will charge you back up and help you to be ready for everything that lies ahead. You won't find yourself fainting. It's God's promise for us to take care of us. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, Paul said this, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." That's because the Lord will lift you and I up as we go through in our service to him. Be sure and know this, that God will quicken you, folks, and he will lift you and I up. Deuteronomy 33:27, this is a great verse. "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Isn't that a great verse? And then verses 17 and 18, as we finish this up, verses 17 and 18 as part of seeing the prize. We see it really, really clear here in these verses. "For our light affliction." Now, Paul calls it a light affliction. Paul had been stoned to death. Paul had been thrice, you know, stoned or beaten with rods. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a whole list. Or verse chapter 11, as it goes into 12, has a whole list of how he was shipwrecked, how he was betrayed by countrymen, a whole list of things. And so he says this, "For our light affliction." He calls it a light affliction. You know why? Because he says, "Which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, listen, this life goes by like a vapor. James said that, James chapter 4. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. This life is going by fast, isn't it? Yeah, I can't believe it. In just a few months, I'm going to be 64. That's just crazy. I don't even buy green bananas anymore, folks. I'm not sure if I got time to wait. Some of you needed that second part of that little joke. Listen, time's going by so fast. And I'm kind of happy because that means we're getting closer to heaven. And heaven's coming that much quicker. But he says, listen, this life is just going by so quickly. And Paul calls it a light affliction. It's just a light affliction. Because if we're truly servants, remember the Lord said, you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you're just really yielded to the Lord, because if you're not yielded to the Lord and you choose to do that each day, then what happens is you and I take on burdens that we're not supposed to have. And then we find, wow, this life is rough. Why is it so hard? Because you and I are carrying more of the burden than we need to. If we'll walk with the Lord said, I'm going to give you an easy burden to handle. And it might be trouble and there might be some persecution. There might be some things that you're going to face, but you'll be able to sustain the load that I give to you because I'll be with you and help you. So that's, you know, I hope you'll take that and run with it. And so he says here now in verse 18, this last verse, while we look not at the things which are seen. He says, we're not looking at the things which are seen. Remember how the Lord told the disciples, say not yet, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. But he says, I want you to look because the fields are white already to harvest. And what was he talking about? He's saying, don't look at the physical fields around us like, yeah, that's got to be harvested in a few months. He says, don't go there. Look spiritually around you and realize there's a harvest that's white, or there's a field that's white already to harvest. That's people. There's people around us. And if we'll just do what God's called us to do to try to be a witness and tell people about Christ, there's a field that's to be harvested at every part of the year. So he says this, while we look not at the things which are seen, don't get caught up by everything we see. Yeah, we have physical eyes and we see all that, but look beyond that. That's why he says, but at the things which are not seen. We look ahead. That's why he said, set your eyes, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth in Colossians chapter 3. Set your affection on things above. Let's be heavenly minded as we go around. And you know what? That makes us earthly good. Okay, contrary to what somebody might have once said. But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. All this stuff is just going to go away one day. It's all going to get burned up one of these days. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are eternal. So let's be confident that as you and I yield to him as a true servant, that he will in turn, he's going to help you and I help us to see, he'll help us to see beyond what we normally see. He'll help us to be able to see the invisible things. You'll understand again that the affliction that you're dealing with is light and it's but for a moment. You won't look to that which is before you, but you'll look beyond the veil. And you and I will be able to see eternity more and more if we're truly a servant of God. God in his grace will be able to show you and I those things. Christian, let me say this. It's a wonderful thing to be called a child of God. It's splendid. Amen? And we have that. But oh, how wonderful it is to willingly choose to be his servant. We can say, Lord, I know I'm your child. And that just touches my heart as I even say that. I'm a child of God. I don't deserve to be, but I'm saved. I'm a rascal. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. But he loved me, and he puts up with me, huh? Puts up with our shenanigans, right? He loves us. That's a splendid thing. But what a wonderful thing to be able to say, Lord, I want to be your servant, though. I want to serve you. To allow this great sovereign God to work through us is incredible. Now, I just asked you a question. Is there anybody here? I asked you this question. Are you a child? Have you ever come to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you've never come to trust Christ as your Savior, we're going to have an invitation in just a moment. And I would invite anybody here that's never received Christ as their Savior to get saved. Because Jesus died on a cross for you so that you could be saved. He lived a sinless life and went to a cross on purpose and then was buried and rose again so that you and I could be saved. So we answer that question, are we a child? Hopefully everybody here can say yes. But are you a servant? Are you surrendered to his plan? Have you secured his power? And do you see the prize? May we be able to answer yes to those things. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, and we'll go before the Lord in prayer and just